You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and today we are looking at common law. So far, if you've been following the episodes in the English Legal System Module 2 Sources of Law course, you'll see that we've covered domestic legislation, including primary and secondary legislation, how to read an Act of Parliament, and how courts interpret legislation. We've learnt about the supremacy of legislation, that Parliament is the ultimate lawmaker. However, in a common law system like that of the UK, the courts also play a lawmaking role. And so today we're looking at the origins of common law, comparing common law to civil law, and discussing some key legal English vocabulary. In the next episode, we will be looking at how the doctrine of precedent operates. So if you have any questions about precedent, send them to info@studylegalenglish.com and I will do my best to answer them. So let's get started. You may have heard that the UK is based on a common law system and not a civil law system. To understand the differences between the common law and civil law systems better, it is important to look at their origins and go back in time to the Middle Ages. Before the Norman Conquest in England in the 11th century, there were different laws for different regions across England. There was no consistency across the country, and the rules were not written down. However, in the Middle Ages, this began to change. Judges were sent by the monarch to hear cases in the king's courts across the country. The cases were decided based on local customs, and the decisions started to be recorded. The judges were now able to read about the decisions made by other judges, and soon, with the introduction of court hierarchy, the doctrine of judicial precedent, also known by the Latin term of stare decisis, meaning let it stand, started to develop. This meant that a judge would have to follow the decision of another judge if the case that was before him was sufficiently similar to another. Gradually, these decisions made up a system of common laws which could be applied throughout the country, hence the name common law, applicable to all people. The common law system was exported to British colonies, which is why there are around 80 countries around the world with common law systems. Some of the countries include India, Australia, and the United States of America. We say that the common law is uncodified, meaning that the rules developed through the courts are not necessarily then recorded and transposed into statute and contained in a large book of legal code. However, this doesn't mean that they are not recorded anywhere. Instead, cases are recorded in a systematic and organised manner in official court transcripts and law reports. There is an important distinction between these two records. A transcript is a verbatim record of the court case written down by the court reporter, whereas the law reports only contain judgments from reportable cases, that's to say those cases which set a precedent or make a change to the law. The law reports also give a summary of the case, including key words, as well as an edited and checked version of what was said in the court case. There is also a hierarchy of the law reports, with the official law reports being at the top of the hierarchy and the official transcripts at the bottom, with other reports such as the weekly law reports or All England law reports somewhere in the middle. It is important, if you are considering studying, mooting, or even working in the UK, that it is absolutely necessary when you cite cases to cite the highest authority available in the hierarchy. This means that if a case is reported in the official law reports, you must cite this one and not simply the transcript. Another important point to note is that when you see the name of a case, you may notice that sometimes the date is given in rounded brackets or parentheses, and sometimes with square brackets, and sometimes these dates might even be different. This can be confusing because you're not sure when the case actually took place. Well, a little tip is that the dates given in parentheses refer to the date that the judgment was given, whereas the square brackets show the date the case was actually reported. If you are curious as to what a transcript and official report look like, you can view and compare examples by going to the links contained in the information section of this podcast episode. So let's look now at the civil law system. In contrast to the common law system, civil law developed across continental Europe from a set of Roman laws which were originally issued by Emperor Justinian in the 6th century. This compilation of laws was soon lost, but eventually rediscovered in the 11th century. Using these laws as a model, countries throughout Europe developed comprehensive legal codes which were, and still are today, continually updated. They set out extremely detailed provisions about what the law is, how to apply it, and even state the punishments which apply for each offence. In a civil law system, judges apply these legal codes, and the doctrine of judicial precedent is not strictly used. Whereas in a common law system, although Parliament does create legislation and even codifies sometimes the judicial case law, law is also developed by the courts through binding judicial precedent, or in other words, case law or common law. But how important is the common law, and what are the advantages? Well, the common law has played an extremely important role in shaping the English legal system that we know today. The common law operated as the primary source of law for hundreds of years before Parliament acquired its legislative function, and it was through the courts that rules, principles, and offences were and continue to be developed. Although nowadays many of these rules have been codified by statute, the courts still play an active role in interpreting legislation and still exercise a quasi-law-making function. Even today, common law offences do still exist. For example, you might find it shocking to know, but murder is still a common law offence in England and Wales. And by this I mean Yes, the courts created this offence, and it is still not an offence which has been codified by legislation. While lawyers in civil law systems recognise the stability and fairness of their systems, the common law system has the advantage of flexibility and the ability to adapt quickly in line with changes in society without the necessity of Parliament legislating, which can be a very slow process. A good example which shows this flexibility and adaptability is in relation to marital rape. In the past, under English common law, a defence to rape was developed which meant that a husband could not be found guilty of raping his wife. It was presumed that a woman gave her irrevocable consent to sex when she married. Over time, this defence was narrowed as women gained rights, until eventually, in 1991, in the case of the Crown against R, the courts removed this defence, recognising that it was totally out of place in modern society. As Parliament had not legislated on the matter, the courts were able to issue a decision which significantly changed the law. The judgment was later codified by an amendment to the Sexual Offences Act in 1994. With such power, however, of course, there need to be some rules around how the courts make decisions. Without such control, the courts could decide anything at any time, and the legal system would be totally uncertain, inefficient, and unstable. This is where the doctrine of precedent comes in. And in the next podcast episode, we'll talk specifically about the operation of precedent. Great, so now we've looked at the origins of precedent and common law, let's discuss some key vocabulary. First, you'll hear the vocabulary. There will then be a beep and a short pause for you to repeat the vocabulary. This is followed by the definition. Then we'll hear an example of using the vocabulary with a beep and a short pause for you to repeat this new phrase. Number one, precedent. In common law systems, precedent refers to a legal decision made by a higher court which may or must be followed by lower courts in future similar cases. There are different types of precedent, most commonly binding precedent and persuasive precedent. An important point to note is the spelling. Precedent is spelt P R E C E D E N T. Don't confuse precedent with precedence, spelt P R E C E D E N C E, or with presidents, P R E S I D E N T S. Example, repeat after the beep. The judgment set a new precedent. Number two, judgment. A judgment is a decision issued by a judge. An important point to note is the spelling of judgment. In British English, when we talk about a decision issued by a judge, we spell it J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T. It's a common mistake to put E after the G. Example, repeat after the beep. The judgment can be found in the official law reports. Number 3. Codification. Codification is the process of recording laws in a particular jurisdiction to form a legal code. The laws are normally organized in a specific way, such as by subject or legal area. In civil law jurisdictions, laws are codified, whereas in common law systems, codification generally refers to the process of converting case law into statute. Example, repeat after the beep. The codification of laws in the civil law system make the law very clear. Great, so now let's do a quick recap. The main differences between the common law and civil law systems is that common law systems allow for the doctrine of judicial precedent and judge-made law, whereas civil law systems are based on comprehensive legal codes. In common law systems, judges follow the doctrine of precedent, which means, as a very basic overview, that they must follow decisions in similar cases. These decisions are recorded in transcripts, and the ones which set precedents or change the law are also recorded in law reports. So, that brings us to the end of this episode. In the next episode, we'll be looking at precedent in more detail, so don't forget to send me your questions to info@studylegalenglish.com. For more practice, Podcast Pro members can access online learning materials, including transcripts of the shows and quizzes to test your knowledge. If you're not a member yet, you can sign up for a free trial at www.studylegalenglish.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. And if you have any feedback, topic requests, or would like to feature on the show, I would love to hear from you. You can get in touch by email info@studylegalenglish.com or on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening and see you next time.